God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, this is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Got my guest Katie Erickson in with me. How you doing, Katie?
Doing great. How are you, Jason?
Doing awesome. Tonight we're going to take a look at Hebrews 7. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. Yeah, don't be a pushover. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. We're going to take a look at Hebrews 7 tonight, and maybe even expand it just a bit. But Katie, let's just get started here again. Katie is our author, blogger, and speaker for the ministry. Glad she's with us. And Katie, you shared with me a statistic about the blog that I thought was pretty interesting. And so maybe I didn't look it, but I was listening, I promise. What is that statistic you just gave?
This past Friday, we had our 2,200th blog post. So we have had 2,200 blog posts published as of October 15th of 2021.
So we're pretty excited about that. And thank you, all of you out there who support the ministry, whether it's through prayers, financial gifts, or just jumping on a thread and having some good times there, whether you're being equipped or one that is, well, wanting to challenge us with questions, and we like questions. We also like it when people actually listen as well. And so we try to listen too, and we like it when people don't build straw men and try to knock them over. And we can talk about that later on, but tonight we're going to get into Hebrews 7.
Well, and also just a shout out to our other blog writers too.
Oh, go for it.
Because, you know, it's not just me. And, you know, Jason writes on occasion here and there, you know, but
I just recently posted one that I think is amazing.
And there's another one coming too.
Yes.
But
looking forward to that.
Just want to say a big thank you, of course, to Charlie Wolcott, another blog writer who writes like every week like I do. So, and I believe he is listening tonight as well. So,
and
thanks,
since,
Charlie.
Since you've mentioned Charlie, we haven't planned this at all. Imagine that. And we're not going to get into it too much because we don't have a date yet. However, we are working on a project that I think not just Katie and I are excited about. I know Charlie is too, because Charlie's the main contributor to this little project. And again, we do not have a date yet. But Katie, what have we been working on regarding Charlie?
We are working on getting a fiction book of his ready for publishing through Worldview Warriors Publishing.
Yes.
And it is really good.
Well, we like it.
I think so anyway, but you
know. You're over here patting ourselves on the back.
Well, Charlie wrote it.
Hey,
so
that's right. That's right.
I just read it, you know.
So it's called Call to Arms, and we are very excited to release this. I would say it's in the flavor, if you will, of C.S. Lewis. I don't know J.R. Tolkien yet. I don't really know, but when I say I don't really know, I'm just saying I don't want to talk it up too big, but it is really a great story. Call to Arms, very spiritual.
It's
driven,
a spiritual warfare kind of thing. And I mean, I actually read it a few years back, and it's just, it's an amazing story. So you know, a couple different worlds and things come together, and it's just really fantastic.
Yeah, we're looking forward to releasing that. Again, we do not have a date yet, and so we're kind of letting, you know, one paw of the cat out of the bag at the moment. But it's not declawed, though, because this is definitely a spiritual warfare book.
Oh, yeah. And it's a good one. It's a fictional story, but it's very good.
Yes.
And we've been working on cover artwork for it lately, and that's coming together pretty well.
Working on a map.
Yep. Working on some maps so you can kind of get the feel of, you know, where the stuff is happening and everything. We're working on that. So
again, released, I'll just say, in the near future. Don't know when that is.
We're
going to
say early 2022.
Well, Katie's going to say
Katie's going to say that. We'll see. I don't know.
Because the reason I want to stay away from giving hope, if you will, is only because we just don't know when it's going to be released. Only because, not because we're not doing our jobs here or whatever. It's the Lord's will be done kind of a thing. That's our timetable, what Katie just shared.
Yes. God can always change our timetable.
Yeah, it may change. I don't know. And again, till we have a solid date, I don't really want to, again, let the whole cat out of the bag yet. So We're looking forward to that, though, and you can find other resources by Charlie, by Katie, on the website there at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org, again, in paperback and Kindle. And one of Charlie's, he just released it this year, The God of the Psalms. You got any information on that?
Yeah, it's a 90-day devotional looking at the different attributes of God that we find in the Psalms. So it's, you know, two-page devotional thoughts, you know, for each day. It just goes through, here's an attribute, here's a verse that's found in the Psalms and kind of discusses that. So it's a great way to just kind of get to know the character of God through the book of Psalms.
And I do want to add this, too. This is one reason why I personally like having Charlie on with Worldview Warriors. He is not afraid to get into difficult topics at all and hit them head on.
Like his book, 10 Reasons to Believe the Bible.
Yes. And we can go into so much more, but these attributes regarding the God of the Psalms, he touches on some, I don't want to call them ouchy, but there's ones you're going, that's pretty intense. We've got to remember that God is all-powerful. He's sovereign. He's almighty God. He's not some little baby seal that we just love. Right?
That's true.
So, again, friends, you can find these resources at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie absolutely loves my little baby seal comments and things like that as I see eyes roll. And just looking forward to having you with us, friends. And, again, we're going to dig into Hebrews 7. Katie, you got anything you want to talk about here?
Hebrews 7.
Good. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. So we're going to look at the first 10 verses of Hebrews 7. So I'm just going to go ahead and read them for you, and then we'll talk about them a little bit. So this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. Now the law requires the descendants of Levi who become priests to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their fellow Israelites, even though they also are descended from Abraham. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. In the one case, the tenth is collected by people who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be living. One might even say that Levi, who collects the tenth, paid his tenth through Abraham, because when Melchizedek met Abraham, Levi was still in the body of his ancestor. So you may be thinking, why on earth are we talking about Melchizedek and giving a tenth and priests who descend from Levi and all of that? Well, the answer would be, is because it's part of the Bible. When we write through a book of the Bible, like I've been going through the book of Hebrews since the end of May or early June of 2021, you know, there may be passages that you're like, well, this is not something you usually, you know, preach on or talk about or read about, but it's still part of our Bible. So it's still an important thing to look at and see what this means for our lives. So the next question you may be having is, who is Melchizedek? Well, he has been mentioned before in the book of Hebrews, specifically chapter 5, verse 6, 5, verse 10, and 6, verse 20, which is actually right before this passage. So we have blog posts on all of those you can check out at worldviewwarriors.org. They're on Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 6 if you want to see the other contexts where Melchizedek has been mentioned so far. So Melchizedek was also mentioned in Psalm 110 verse 4 with a context of a priest in the order of Melchizedek, just like we see here and in Hebrews 6:20. So the only other reference to Melchizedek in the Bible is in Genesis 14 verses 18 through 20. And now the context of that passage is what the author of Hebrews is referring to. So that's during Abram's time, shortly before God made his great covenant with him. So Melchizedek is referred to as the king of Salem, but he was also a priest of God, and he gave a blessing to Abram that said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of everything he had, and then we don't hear anything more about Melchizedek. So, while the author of Hebrews previously referred to Jesus as a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, he develops that further in this section. So this is significant, because priests were generally considered to be in the order of Aaron, or the order of Levi. So this signifies Jesus as a different type of priest. This shows the uniqueness of Jesus and the great work that he accomplished and continues to accomplish. So this meeting between Melchizedek and Abram, referenced in Hebrews 7, 1 and 2. And it's important to note how the author even tells us that the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Melech is the Hebrew word for king, and tzedek is the Hebrew word for righteousness. So the author of Hebrews points out that king of Salem also means king of peace. Well, the Hebrew word used for Salem in the Genesis passage is not quite the same as shalom, which is the word for peace, though they do come from the same root. So many scholars actually think that Salem, where they say Melchizedek is the king of Salem, may actually be short for Jerusalem. But it's interesting that the author of Hebrews doesn't mention that potential connection with Jerusalem, as Jesus really did have many significant life events there. There are also other places that were sometimes referred to as Salem in the Old Testament. So in verse 3 of Hebrews 7, we see that Melchizedek is referred to as not having a father, a mother, genealogy, or any dates that he was born or when he died. Along with the phrase that he resembled the Son of God, some scholars interpret this to mean that Melchizedek was not human. Perhaps he was an angelic being. Because the genealogy of a priest was important. Priests needed to be from a certain heritage. So it's significant that this was not the case for Melchizedek. But what the author is doing here is applying these truths to Jesus as the Son of God. You know, Jesus does not have an earthly father. He has no, you know, human lineage in that sense. And as God, he was never born, nor died, nor had a mother, though he did experience those things as a human. So the rest of this passage discusses the process of tithing, which brings out the greatness of Melchizedek, and therefore of Jesus. So Abram giving a tenth of the plunder to Melchizedek that we see in Hebrews 7 verse 4. The word there in Greek indicates that Abraham gave him the very best, the top of the heap, so to speak. So then the author begins focusing on the requirements of the law. This is specifically referring to the law of Moses, which did require the people to give a tenth of their income to the priests so that the priests could support themselves and the temple. This did not make the priests superior to their fellow Israelites, but they got their income from others because they were doing the work of God with their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we'll keep digging into this, friends. But again, we're looking at Hebrews 7, and we're starting in verse 1, going through 10. And again, you know, friends, there'll be more we're digging into. But again, Melchizedek, I think it's pretty interesting because this author of Hebrews, I say this author because we don't know who the author really is, friends. But Melchizedek, they're making the claim kind of this is Jesus, right?
Yeah, they're comparing Jesus to Melchizedek. I mean. They're not saying Melchizedek is
Correct.
Jesus. But the author is comparing Jesus to Melchizedek and using that as the foundation to say how Jesus is superior to all the other priests, even the other high priests of Israel, because they're just in the order of Aaron or the order of Levi, you know, whereas Jesus is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek, who is superior to other priests.
Now, I don't know if you're planning on digging into this, but why is that so important as believers?
We're getting there.
Okay, good answer.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason DeZurich.
As we begin this Fastcast today, I'd like to direct you to our The Foundation Matters series. I'd like you to consider a very important word today from George Washington. Let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principle. friends. That's a quote from George Washington. Also, Ecclesiastes 1:9, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. You find that in Ecclesiastes 1:9. I want to direct you to our blog post titled Being Good Without God.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Before I get back to Katie here and give the, you know, give her the steering wheel, if you will, I want to just share with you something that was just really encouraging for me as, well, as a husband, as a father, something that just recently happened to me. You know, as for those of you who are, well, regular listeners, or you're a follower of the ministry, whatever it is, you know that my wife and I have been blessed with 6 children, and 3 of them now are moved out of the house. 3 of them are still in the house. We have 2 boys and 4 girls in that order. And for me, it is just, well, it's been interesting having adult children. I share this because, well, you do your best as a parent to raise your children in the way they should go, and you're praying for them to follow the Lord in everything they do. And I just want you to know it's kind of hard sometimes because you're no longer in control of your children whatsoever when they leave the house. It's crazy. And then I really thought about it. You know, do you really have much control even when they're in the house? And I was able to talk to my sons quite literally today. And it's just a huge blessing to know that, you know, again, they get to decide where they're going. They get to decide if they're going to follow God or not. They get to choose it on their own. This is a huge deal as a parent because, well, for my wife and I, we want them to follow God in all that they do. And there's days where you're going, boy, I sure wish you'd call me. It's been 2 weeks. You know, are you doing all right? Well, and then I get a huge blessing yesterday hanging out with my son. We get to take a nice 4.5-hour drive. And it was just wonderful sitting next to him. Not exactly knowing, okay, where are you at with your relationship with God right now, son? We haven't talked in a while. And he just starts spouting off all of this wisdom and godliness. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. And I'm sharing that with you, friends, because pray for your children. Turn them over to God. Don't be afraid to let them live their lives. Don't be afraid to let them make their own mistakes. Katie, you're a child, right?
I am.
You are.
I'm not a young child,
you're
but
not,
I am a child.
But you are a child.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you've been out of the house much longer than my boys.
About 18 years.
Yes.
Plus college, so
now,
longer.
You still do listen, I'm sure, to your mother and father.
Yeah, for the most part.
But the difference is now you don't have to obey them, do you?
No. But they also don't tell me what to do most of the time.
Okay.
So
well,
they
but,
can kind of encourage.
Well, I was
going
to say, though, do they ever give you, like, counsel?
Oh, sure.
Or, okay.
Especially when I ask them for it.
And so my point with this, friends, is we need to honor our father and mother always. If you are an adult child, you still need to honor your parents. God's really clear on that. Honoring, friends, is not obedience. It's honoring them. So I'm sharing this with you, friends, because as a father with 3 children out of the house, oh, it's nice when your children actually honor you, and I tell them things of what I want them to do, and then sometimes they don't do it, and I realize I am not God, and I cannot force them to do what I want them to do.
That's true.
I could try, but I'd probably exasperate them and push them away.
Probably.
And that would not be worth it at all. Friends, I'm sharing this again because I want to encourage you, parents, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Again, this is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. Katie, let's move into again Hebrews 7, and you've been talking about Melchizedek and the comparison with Jesus Christ just a bit. And when we left, kind of talked about, well, I asked you, why is this a big deal? We're hoping to get into that before we get done with this hour.
Yeah, yeah, basically. So we're talking about how we're in Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 10. So if you didn't hear me read that earlier, go find a Bible, read it for yourself. And then you may be thinking, huh, why did I just read that? What does that have to do with anything? It's not one of those passages that we can, you know, really like we just read and we're like, oh, yes, that applies to my life. You know, it's not the easiest passage to do that with, but it is still important. So the idea here that we're talking about is how there was this priest back in the Old Testament, in Abraham's day, actually, named Melchizedek. And he was represented as superior to all other priests. So all of the other priests, and especially the high priests in the nation of Israel, would have been descendants of the tribe of Levi. Now, remember, Levi would have been one of Abraham's great-grandsons. So you've got Abraham, who had Isaac, who then had Jacob, who was later named Israel, who then had Levi as one of his children. So Melchizedek was around a few generations before the tribe of Levi, like, even existed. Before Levi even existed, for that matter, because Melchizedek was a contemporary with Abraham. So Abraham chose to give Melchizedek a tenth of what he had before it was required to do so. Because remember, it was the law of Moses that established that the nation of Israel, the people, should give a tenth of what they had to the priests, who were in the order of Levi, in order to support the priests. So that law didn't happen until way after Melchizedek and Abraham had this exchange back in Genesis 14. So Abraham chose to give Melchizedek a tenth before it was required to do so, and Melchizedek rewarded Abraham with a blessing. So the author of Hebrews has established that Melchizedek was a great high priest who lived before the role of priests, or even a high priest, was a formal role. That was established in the law of Moses for the nation of Israel after their exodus from Egypt, so lots of generations later. So why does all this about Melchizedek even matter? Well, actually, the author of Hebrews gets to that in the next passage. But we can give you a little sneak peek, perhaps.
Yeah, let me turn my microphone on there. Yeah, let's get a little sneak peek.
Well, first, let's just see what this passage, still applicable, still relevant to our lives. Because Abraham gave Melchizedek 10% not out of obligation, but out of a desire to honor him. So we can learn from that we need to give out of our income to God, whether 10% or some other amount, because we want to honor God, not out of obligation. Abraham's motivation was clear, and because of that, Melchizedek blessed him. So, to get into the next passage a little bit, which this blog post is not out yet, but it will be soon. So, in Hebrews 7, 11 through 19, the next section of it, the author talks more about how Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek, is, you know, a high priest that, you know, is better than any other high priest that we could have. So in that passage, it talks about the Jewish sacrificial system specifically, on how the priests had to keep offering sacrifices for the people to forgive their sins. But the difference between the order of Aaron or the order of Levi, the regular priests, they had to keep offering sacrifices. But Melchizedek, you know, the order of Melchizedek, you see Jesus as a priest in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus was the only sacrifice that is ever needed for all of our sins. So, spoiler alert, that's what's coming next in Hebrews 7.
Very, very cool. Again, friends, this is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Dzurek, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. And before we get out of here, I wanted to also let you know a brand new resource is coming out November 1st. Katie, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about that since you've written it.
Yes. So it's called Following the 12. It is a 30-day discipleship devotional. And it'll help us explore the questions about who were each of Jesus's 12 disciples. What do we know about them? And how do their lives impact our lives as followers of Jesus today? So you can learn about each of Jesus's 12 disciples as you embark on this 30-day journey of discipleship. Reflect on their lives and allow them to impact your walk with Jesus. Follow Jesus more closely as you follow the 12.
Absolutely. Again, friends, you can find that November 1st, I'm hoping to get the, what is that called?
The proof
tomorrow?
Copy.
The proof copy, yep. That's right.
Like the preview version, yes, of what it'll look like in print.
We're hoping to get that actually tomorrow.
Yep.
So we're aggressively getting this done, but it'll be, the plan is to be available Monday,
wow.
Monday, November 1st. And we're looking forward to that. Again, you can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org on or after November 1st.
Should be on November 1st.
Hopefully.
But, you know, we'll see how things go.
Well, it'll still be there after.
It will be. That is true. You don't have to buy it on November 1st. You can wait.
But we wouldn't mind.
Oh, of course. Yes. Go right ahead. Do your Christmas shopping early. Buy it on November 1st. Just check off everyone on your list with this 30-day discipleship devotional.
Alrighty,
because
then,
you know, none of them have it already.
That's true. So following the 12, a 30-day discipleship devotional on Worldview Warriors Publishing. Again, my name is Jason Dezurek, your host for the program. Katie is my guest tonight, and, well, we'll dig into much more later on. I'm sure we'll talk about Hebrews a bit in the future.
Yeah, next time I'm on, probably.
Why not?
Because I'll still be writing on Hebrews.
That's
because
right.
There's a lot more of Hebrews that I haven't written about yet.
That's right. Again, friends, thanks for tuning in to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. I'm not a pushover. You don't know me now. You don't know me now. I'm not a pushover.
In Jesus Christ.
I won't play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.